Hello and welcome to another episode of But Why? But this is something a bit different. It's a condensed version. It's our favourite conversations about tricky subjects, revisited and reduced into bite-sized chunks. Hello and welcome to another episode of But Why? The podcast that's all about digging into big questions and tricky topics via honest conversations. This week, we're going to be looking at county lines and I'm chatting to Danielle Marin. Danielle grew up in London with first generation immigrant parents. She was accepted into a grammar school. However, her life changed completely after a brutal attack led her to involvement with gangs and drug crime. She later enrolled at university and graduated with a first. She has since advocated within the criminal justice system for many women, the hidden victims and participants of organised crime, and began her master's in 2021. Her book, Top Girl, is truly one of the best books I've read this year. In fact, it cost me an awful lot of sleep because I was staying up way, way, way past my bedtime reading it. I couldn't recommend it more. There we are, that's the excruciating bit. And also, having read your book, as I give that kind of bio for you, it really doesn't actually encapsulate anywhere near like the life that you've lived, even though it sounds a lot.
It's literally long story, very short, I guess.
I mean, yeah, it's just like things written in a few sentences. You've been through some wild things. So we're going to be talking about county lines. And for anyone listening who doesn't know what that means, can you give us a kind of easy explanation of what that is?
I guess. I mean, county lines is not something I ever heard. That's sort of what it's dubbed as by professionals. Mm-hmm. I would have said I'm going country, conch, OT, and it basically is when you are literally crossing county lines, so county borders, to leave your area and sell drugs in another area.
And predominantly is that like moving from inner cities out into the countryside?
Yes, I think that's what it is. I think now it might have changed slightly, but from what I knew it as is it was sort of Londoners leaving and going northeast, south or west out of London to find drugs in a countryside location.
And what I found wild is that there's so much that blew my mind, but this is business. There is no casual undertaking with this, is it? It's like this is where we're going to go. This is where we're going to create a whole new load of business by getting drugs out into the community and creating a whole new load of customers.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely organized like a workplace. This isn't for fun. You know, you literally have shift patterns. It's quite taxing. It's literally, as you said earlier, organized crime.
I don't know how to go about this. How did you find yourself involved with it, I guess, is the way into it?
There's so many factors that led me there, and there's so many like red flags that I speak about in my book that sort of made me feel like that was the right thing to do at the time. When I look back now, I think the main reason I got into it was because I wanted an escape. I didn't necessarily get into it for money or status at the start. I just wanted to leave London, get out of that sort of area that I lived in, and also forget that my son had just been taken away from me. So it was just something to keep my mind off that, and that's where it started. But I can't deny that it, the money side of it and the status side of it did keep me there longer than I should have been, I suppose.
One thing that stood out for me as well is when you were talking about getting a car to go out to the country, that the insurance company, you had contacts at the insurance company so that you weren't actually insured, but it would appear on the records that you did.
Yeah. So like it was called Link Insurance. It was just literally someone I don't know the person personally.
Yeah.
He was just like a contact, and he did that for most people that I knew. It was a quick and easy way to get around it if you had something like a driving ban, which at the time I did. And it's not foolproof at all. But I think when you're in that world and you know certain types of people, there's a link for everything.
That's what stood out for me, is like Yeah, I think it's something that really opened my eyes that there's literally a whole different, especially because I live in London, I live in Peckham actually, there's a whole different world going on that you might, the average person walking down the street has no idea about.
100 million percent. Like there's literally contacts in every organisation you can think of.
Yeah, yeah. And would they be making money out of those transactions?
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, they would put the money that we paid was to that person, not to the insurance company.
Right. So that's a nice side
hustle. Yeah, and that was £100 a month. So if he was doing, 10 cars a month, it's quite a lot of money on top of his wage. So
he was probably a bit of admin and not much else.
Yeah, so they definitely profit. But, I mean, that's why these things crop up, because people are willing to pay to get around certain systems, I guess. Mm.
And stop me if you don't want to talk about any of this, but there was also some like brutal attack and abuse of you in the middle of all this, wasn't there?
Well, that happened prior. That was before I started going to country, and potentially one of the triggers or one of the red flags, I guess, that happened early on. Yeah, it was a horrific attack, and I think it shaped my life for quite a while.
And again, you were really young when that happened, weren't you?
I was 15 when that happened, yeah. Very, very young, too young to be around that sort of situation, basically, yeah.
So, because for listeners, I'm trying to go back a few steps, because you were at school and then you got into a grammar school, which was that out of London, or was it just that was kind of going slightly away from your area, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was slightly out of my area. It was quite a while. Well, not quite a while. It was about 40 minutes on the train. But obviously I was the only person from my area that went to that school, and the other way around, no one in that school knew me. I hadn't gone to primary school with these people. So when I arrived at this grammar school, everyone had their friendship groups from primary school, and I was sort of the outsider. And I looked different to them. I think being raised with my mum, who obviously English wasn't her first language and things like that, I had some differences in culture as well, maybe in upbringing. And I just didn't fit in. I was an outsider, and there was a lot of cliques in that group. Like it was a girls' school, and as you can imagine, there's a lot of bitchiness in girls' schools. So yeah, it was really difficult for me, and I think that is why I said, okay, that's fine, you're not going to accept me, so I'll go back to what I know, and which is why I didn't engage with any real friends at school.
Really?
And started looking for my friendship group out of school.
And yeah, again, in the book, I like that you talk about this like transitional time, because you kind of knew at that point that you wanted out. But as you say, you can't just go, and I'm done. You, even when you went back to dealing, it felt like you went into that with a different mindset in order to trying to get to a different place, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason why I did it when, like, the first occasion when I was moved out of London was because literally I had my savings, but I didn't have my flat, I didn't have my car, I didn't have anything. And to survive on not a lot, I think I was getting about £300 from Universal Credit, which is, we all know that's not a lot of money to live on. So, and all I knew how to do was, or the only thing I could do, or I felt I could do, was sell drugs. So it wasn't to get back into it with both feet and be like, yep, I'm going to continue on my drug dealing career. No, it was purely because I felt trapped and I needed the money. So it was never going to be a long-term thing. It was literally just to get enough money to move into my own flat.
For the listener, you came on, Mike, and I'm all over the shop. This girl looks put together. You look like you've got your shit together, even if you feel like you don't. I don't know. I don't know what I pictured. I guess because you're writing and I'm seeing things through your eyes, so you quite often don't think about what you look like in it. I can't believe you. I can't believe this stuff. When you read the book back for the first time, when you read the first manuscript, did it feel like your life, or were you just do you feel one step removed from it now?
The confession I have to make is that I've not read it back to back, like
no, straight, cover to cover.
I've not read it back since it's been like put together. So all I did was like editing each individual chapter and then sending it off. So yeah, I've not read it as a book because I guess I know how it ends.
Story. Like, you know the story. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's like there's that book and your story sits with me over and over again. Again, as I say, because I live in Peckham, I'm just seeing the whole everything that's going on my doorstep in a slightly in a different way, and just wondering who's been pulled in what directions and what and what their journey is from there. You know,
it's like people watching and just wondering where their life is taking them. I know, it's really interesting.
It is.
But thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's it's scary putting yourself out there, but the feedback I've got is really positive. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.